Now, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being just a man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with the marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Good morning, y'all. Hey, Merry almost Christmas. I'm going to do something a little different this service that I didn't do in the last service. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Doug. I love Pastor Doug so very much. So thank you so much for this invitation and allowing me to be here today with you all. You know, today's Advent theme is around love, and I'm going to hop into my notes in a moment. But when I think about just love and, like, really this whole season, as busy and as frustrating and stressful as it can be sometimes, this whole season really is all about God's love leaning in towards us in this season. And I'm going to do the shout out. I'm not going to make a stand up, but my sister and I are here, and I am so honored to have them here with us today. I love y'all so much. I want to point out my sister, because y'all might notice, just wait, we don't look alike. Okay, and I want to point that out because love doesn't have to look like or agree, as like Pastor Kevin, it hasn't looked like Pastor Doug says all the time, but we were brought together through love, her mother, our mother. I actually met while I was in college, and I'll never forget this, and I had this moment, and I was thinking about it earlier when I was like, oh, my sister's coming to hear me preach today. I'm running through the halls of the University of Kentucky trying to find an office. Her mom is standing in the office, and she sees this little black boy just running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And she says, "Excuse me, what room are you looking for?" And I tell her what room I'm looking for. She said, "Oh, come in. I'm going to let them know you're late because you're running around here like a chicken with your head cut off. And you're going to get your breath, and you're going to have some water, and then you're going to go to this room." And she shows me where the office is at. And from that moment on, Cindy Jefferson just took me in as a son. Like, she just took me hostage with her love. She said, "Have you eaten?" I was like, I said, "No, babe, you need to eat. You're a college student, and I know you haven't eaten a real meal, so you're coming to my house. Here's my address." I'm like, "I don't know this lady." And she's like, "And I'm making a meal, and you're going to come, and you're going to come to eat." And she just loved this random college student running through the hallways. And the next thing you know, I meet Joy, and then Joy is like my sister. And then next thing you know, we're doing life together. And then it's just this beautiful thing. And like 20 plus years later, that is my sister. I will fight for her, right? And so I'm just reminded of just like the love of God and how God shows up in really beautiful, loving ways. And I share that because I hope that in the midst of all the things that are going on this holiday season, you're able to just kind of see the glimpses of God's love for you. In this moment, it's a joy, Chris. I just want y'all to know, y'all just a reminder of God's love to me, and I love y'all. I do. So anyway, let's hop into the sermon, right? Yeah, tell the people that you love them, that, you know, because you don't know. We ain't promised a whole lot of time on this earth, right? So let the people know that you love them, right? But right now, we're going to talk about Joseph. Can we talk about Joseph for a moment? I love Joseph's story in the Advent story, because Joseph is what I like to call an Advent underdog. Like, we like to talk about Jesus, and we should. It's his birthday, right? And we give Mary her props. But Joseph kind of goes off And he is the underdog of the Advent story. And I don't know, but I think we need to give a little bit more respect to Jesus' stepdaddy. That's all I'm just saying. Like, get him in a little respect, right? Because as Bree read earlier, every one of his actions up until the moment that God called him home was actually an action in love, right? The scriptures tell us that when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, Joseph could have very publicly had her drug into the square, and if you knew the biblical times, she could have been stoned, killed, and all that, but he wanted to put her away quietly, and he was going through a legal process or was considering a legal process to put her away quietly so that Mary would not be shamed. Love does show up in unique ways, and we see Joseph moving in this love, and I don't think that Joseph really gets the nod that he knows, so I'm going to shout out Joseph today. Because love is literally the heart of the Christmas story. And even though God is powerful, God didn't just stay untouchable and far away from people. That love was always near us. Now, oftentimes when we think about love, we think about like this emotion, like this connected to Valentine's Day. But love is more than just an emotion, y'all. Love is literally who God is. The scriptures tell us that God is love. Love risks relationships where convenience would beg to withdraw. Love is brave. It doesn't run away in the difficult times. Love is proximity and mutuality, and it costs you something. Love listens more than it speaks. Love is not far away. It is actually really, really close and near to us. And so when I think about Joseph's place in the Advent story, I see a brother who is walking in love, but love also is instructing him on how to move forward. And I believe that it is Joseph's piece of the story that can be of resource to us today as we move not only throughout the rest of Advent, but throughout the rest of our lives. The first thing I want to point out is that when love shows up, love sees us. Love sees us exactly where we are. The scripture tells us in Matthew 1, verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about y'all. I have faith. But if my girlfriend says that she's pregnant, and that the Holy Spirit placed a baby inside of her, I would have a hard time breathing and listening to her. But then an angel comes along and says, hey, Joseph, I know that you are considering some things, but I want you to know that everything that Mary told you was the truth. And Pastor Doug, when I was sitting with this text, in that moment, I had to think about if I was Joseph, and all the things that I was feeling on the inside of me, all the things that I was thinking about, I'm sure that he had some doubt. I'm sure there was some anger. I'm sure there was some shame. I'm sure there was some fear. That in the midst of his doubt, his anger, his shame, and his fear, God says, Joseph, I see you. I see that you're angry. I see that you're afraid. I see that there's some shame. I see that there's some fear. And how many of you know that in the midst of our messy stories, in the midst of our hard times, in the midst of our trials and our tribulations, every now and then it feels good to know that God sees me. God sees me right where I am. And because God views us through the lenses of love, our shame, our sin, our frustration, our anger, our doubt does not blind us or shield us from the love of God, because God is always looking towards us. That's the place to shout hallelujah right there. As Pastor Doug told you earlier, I have 5 children. My children range from age 30 to 12. 30 to 12. Yeah, I ain't praying. 30 to 12, okay? I have 4 boys, 1 girl. They are 30, 22, 16, 15, 12. I have a lot of kids, y'all. And one of the things that my wife and I are always trying to figure out is which child is hiding in the blind spot. Because as a parent, we never want our children to feel like they're not seen, and we definitely don't want them hiding and feeling like they don't have access to us. And sometimes it's the squeaky wheel that gets the door. It's not like right now, it's my daughter. It's my daughter. This is the 22-year-old. She's the squeaky wheel right now, so she's getting a lot of attention right now. She's getting all the attention right now. She's probably getting everything in my wallet, too. But anyway, she's the one, right? But my wife and I, every now and then, we have to do a check-in with each other to find out who's in the blind spot. Because if it's not the child that needs the most support, sometimes the one that's doing really, really, really well can hide off in the shadows sometimes, and we can miss their need. How many of you know that we are all children of the Most High God, and God loves us so much that there is never a moment where God is taking his eyes off of us? That God is intentional about leaning in and seeing us right where we are, and there is nothing that can shield us. His love penetrates through the darkness, penetrates through the shame, penetrates through the fear, and says, oh, I see you, my daughter, because I love you. I see you, my son, and I am proud of you. And there is nothing that you could do that would ever take my eyes off. I love you. And that is quite assuring in hard times, that when I am going through, I am not by myself. Now, everybody may not show up the way that I want to, but love sees me where I am. That is comfort. That is a gift. That is reassurance that I am seen. And I'm not seen by God because of my affiliation to a church. I'm not seen by God because of the degrees that I have. I'm not seen by God because of the money that I have. I'm not seen by God because of my last name. I'm seen by God because he loves me. Period. Full stop. That's love. But not only am I seen by God, Joseph reminds us that God sees us and God comforts us where we are. He says, hey, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary. Now, in some translations, it says, hey, Joseph, fear not. And I don't know about you all. Can I just be transparent for a moment? Every now and then, fear grips me. Fear takes a hold of me. It stirs up my anxiety. It keeps me from sleeping. Sometimes it has me overeating. Fear can do some crazy things to you. Fear will have you running and hiding in places. Sometimes fear will have you acting out in vengeance. And the first thing that the angel says to Joseph is, Joseph, I know you're going through a lot. I know there's a lot on your plate. I know you've got to contemplate what's going on. I know you may be embarrassed by the situation. I know you might be doubting Mary. I know that you've got a lot that's going on. And I want you to say, I just want to say this to you, fear not. I'm with you. Has anybody in this room ever experienced just the presence of God in the midst of your situation when you feel like you are about to be consumed, or when you feel like you're about to be overtaken, when you feel like I cannot take this anymore, and there is a peace that comes that can only come from God that says, you know what? Fear, you have to go. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I want you to understand this, that even in the midst of your messy stories, in the midst of your hard times, in the midst of your frustration, in the midst of your anxiety, God, through his love, comforts us to remind us that I am with you. I see you and I'm with you. I love you and I see you. I love you and I'm with you. Therefore, fear not. And the beautiful thing about this particular message from the angel is this, is that perfect love casts out all fear. Love is a light that pushes back the darkness. And when I realize that I am loved, just like we may do with our children, when they realize that they are loved and they are supported and they are seen and supported in a certain way, that love begins to push back some of the fear and some of the anxiety. How many of y'all saw Inside Out 2? Now, they say the movie was for kids, but I'm pretty sure that was for adults. I know my wife and I, we cry like a baby, and our kids are looking at us like, what's wrong with y'all? But one of the things that Riley needed to know from her parents when she was going through all the things that she was going through, wrestling with her anxiety, is that she was loved, that her parents saw her, and that it was the love that helped her manage what was going on the inside of her. Joseph, I know that you've got a lot of stuff that you're working through right now. I know you've got a lot of things that you're trying to figure out, but I need you to understand that love sees you, and love is comforting you in this moment to remind you that you are not alone. The next part I love about this particular story is that we are reminded that not only does love see us, not only does love comfort us, but love invites us in. Now, this is the part of the story where me and Jesus would have had, me and God would have had to have a conversation. Scripture says, she will give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus. Now, what I got to do? Like, hold on. I didn't ask to be part of any of this plan. See, this is why I couldn't have been Joseph, because my talk back is too much. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people. Now, here's a little historical context. Whenever a son was born, the father would give the son his name. For those of you who have forgotten, the man we're talking about, his name is Joseph. And the angel says, we want you to name him Jesus. And so that means there's going to be an extra level of talking, an extra level of shame that's going to be connected to this because, Joseph, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing right now to redeem the world. God invites us, love invites us into the redemptive work that God is doing. Love invites us into this incarnational ministry, and the responsibility of naming Jesus for Joseph was an opportunity for him to continue to be part of the redemptive plan rather than just a passive observer. God has a beautiful way of taking the messiest parts of our story and inviting us just to lean in just a little bit more. I think the beautiful part of how I'm able to experience and see Jesus is when I hear the power of God at work in other people's lives. When I can hear people say, hey, I used to be an addict, but God, and let me tell you how I live now. I used to be afraid all the time, but God. God invites us in into the redemptive work. And just as we see God inviting Joseph in as love is inviting him in, he says, look, not only am I doing a thing to you, but I'm inviting you to be a part of what I'm doing, not just for you, not just for Mary, but for all of humanity. How many of you know that sometimes we experience some things and God is inviting us to lean in, to be part of this beautiful, loving story of how God not only loves the young and the old, the black and the white, but God loves us all and he invites us into this redemptive story. And sometimes it's hard to see it when you're in it, right? Sometimes I don't really want to be a part of God's plan, you know. You know, he keep it all to himself. He work it out. You know, God do your thing, right? But in this moment, we see that Joseph was not just a passive. He was actually being invited to be an active part of what God is doing. What could possibly be going on right now that you're experiencing? What chapter in your story is being written out right now where God is saying, I don't want you to be passive. I want you to be active in what I'm doing right now. Because it will be through your life, even at this chapter in your life, even at your age, even now, even with a degree, even with the money, even in the messiness of the divorce. Because this one thing that Pastor Doug taught us earlier is that God uses the messiest stories. I'm telling y'all, this is a messy story, right? God uses the messiness to bring glory to the kingdom. To let our lights shine the brightest so that others may see and experience Jesus. Love invites us into what God is doing to re-eat in the world. And then finally this, love keeps its word. Love keeps its word. Our God is a promise-keeping God. And sometimes that's hard to lean into because when you're standing in the what is, it's hard to believe for the what's to come. But that's literally what the Advent season is. It is a reminder that God has done it once and God can do it again. And we serve a God who keeps his word, that love keeps its word. For over 400 years, people were crying for a savior. And through the prophets, Isaiah and Micah, we hear God saying, I hear your prayers. I see your tears. I see your suffering. And I want you to know that salvation is coming. Salvation is coming. Salvation is coming. And I'm sure there were times where people were going, well, when is the salvation coming? Because time has only gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. I don't know. Sometimes I say that when I watch the news. But we serve a promise-keeping God that loves us so much that love never goes back on his word. And we literally are celebrating a moment where God has kept his word to humanity that a Savior will be born, a Savior will give birth, that the Virgin will give birth, and he will save the world. I thought about this as I was preparing this message. One of my favorite aunts in the world, my Aunt Dorothy. I love my Aunt Dorothy. Now, my Aunt Dorothy will tell you that she was unchurched. And I believe in the Lord, and I believe in doing right, but I'm not going to church every Sunday, and she didn't. But my Aunt Dorothy was one of the cool, she was the cool auntie. She did all the cool auntie things. She taught me how to make money. She taught me how to save money. She helped me with my first car. She even taught me how to make strawberry wine and taught me where to hide it. Don't judge my auntie. She was the greatest auntie ever. And when my father died when I was 15, my aunt told my mom, she goes, I'm going to help you out with those kids the best way that I can. And she kept that promise. She kept that promise. One of my favorite Aunt Dorothy stories after my dad passed, my Aunt Dorothy told my mom, I'm coming to pick up those kids. They need to come out of the house. There's too much sadness in there. I'm coming to pick up the kids. There's this new Disney movie that's out. I'm going to take the kids to go see this new Disney movie, something about a lion. And so my Aunt Dorothy, you already know where the story is going. I see you shaking your head. So my Aunt Dorothy picks us up, and she takes us to the movie theater, and we get popcorns, and we get drinks, and she teaches me how to sneak in a little candy. And it was great, right? And we sit down to watch The Lion King. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen The Lion King, but, you know, the story is about a kid whose dad gets killed, right? But my aunt didn't know it. All she knew was that she was taking us to this little cartoon movie made by Disney, and then I'm going to give the kids a little something to look forward to. And I'll never forget it. We're sitting in a movie theater, and right at that scene where Scar is holding on to Mufasa over the cliff, and he says, "Brother!" And Mufasa's looking up to Scar, and Scar is like, "Long live the king." Right? You saw the movie too, right? He says, "Long live the king." And then he lets go of Mufasa. Mufasa falls off the cliff, right? And then like little Simba's like, he runs up to him a little bit later, and he's like, "Dad, what's going on?" And I'll never forget this. I'm sitting in the movie theater, and my aunt goes, Like, I have dropped the ball on this one. And we go home, and my mom was like, "How was the movie?" My aunt's like, "Don't talk about it. I won't talk about it. I won't talk about it." She said, "Who told Disney to kill people's daddies? Like, we didn't tell nobody." But that was my favorite, because my aunt, she just showed up in that way. She just showed up in a way. Well, one of the things that she would do as I was preparing this message is that every Christmas, and I told you, she was the fun auntie, right? She's the one that used to give us money every time, you know, from time to time. She was the one that taught us how to make strawberry wine and told me where to hide it. She was the one that got me ready for college, helped me purchase my first car. But every Christmas, my favorite fun auntie would give us socks and underwear as a gift. Socks and underwear. And I was like, "Why do we get socks and underwear at Christmas?" She said, "Because sometimes you don't get what you want, but you know what you need. You get what you need." So every Christmas, she would give us what we needed, not what we wanted. Now, mind you, she gave us her life throughout the year. But at Christmas time, it was socks and underwear. Every year, William, socks and underwear, socks and underwear. And she would wrap them up in like little, back in the day, we had newspapers. For those of you who are too young, we had newspapers. And she would wrap them up in comics, in the comic section, and it would be socks and underwear. And as I think about this message, I'm thinking about sometimes love gives us what we need sometimes when it's not what we want. Love knew that what the world needed was not another politician. We needed a savior. Love knew that we didn't need another warrior. We needed a baby born to a virgin in a manger. Love knew exactly what we needed and when we needed it. And y'all, I'm just convinced that in this Advent season, probably more now than ever, that love is reminding us that what we need more now is more Jesus, more of the love of Jesus, because it's not going to be from the White House. It's not going to come from the Senate. It's not going to come from the Congress. It's going to come from the heart of God to his people. We need more love. We need more Jesus. We need it. We need it so that the people who are incarcerated will know that they are love, so that mothers who are struggling to pay their bills will know that God can see them, so that men who are struggling knows that God is covered, and we need more love. And the more we can amplify that love and share that love and give that love, I just believe that more people will embrace Jesus, because we need love, y'all. I said earlier, I don't really know what more I needed to say, because the two young men who did the Advent reading, they did all the talking. I didn't really need to do anything. So if I can say anything before I take my seat, is this, that love is the Advent message. It is the Christmas message. We are celebrating the birth of the baby because love saw us. Love comforted us. Love invited us, and love kept its promise that I will send you a savior, not because you deserve it, not because you are from a certain income background, not because you have a certain degree, but simply because I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's good news, y'all. That it does not matter whether or not you get everything you want underneath the tree. that I'm reminded in this moment, I am loved. I am deeply loved. And if I remember that I am deeply loved and I can embrace that love and I can walk in that love, then I can start sharing that love and say, hey, Doug, you love too. And I love you simply because I'm loved. And hey, Brew, by the way, I love you too. And Joy and Chris, I love you too. And Will, I love you too. I love you because I am loved. And I believe we could start a love revolution. Because a baby was sent in love, for love, so that we could share love with others. Y'all, that's the message. That's the good news. Tony Evans says this. Matthew tells us that God is with us. Jesus Christ is an incarnate deity. That is the essence of Christmas. That all the problems in this world can be tracked back to sin, and Jesus entered the world to forgive us of our sins and give us victory over our sins and give us eternal home with him forever. And that truth is what Christmas is all about, love. If you miss that, you've missed the whole point. I don't know what shopping you got left to do, but if you ain't got a little love in your heart, can't really put love under the tree. Maybe your kids could say, yes, you can if you do a new Xbox. Your kids will probably argue with me on that. But in this world where the news can wear us out, sometimes it's an act. It's a job just to make it through 30 minutes worth of news of all the things that are going on in our world. From politics to shootings to immigrations, like there's so much that is going on. But what happens if I just embrace the love that God has for me? Know that God has love for the others and ask God, Lord, where do I lean in now to this story of love that you are writing, that you're continuing to write? So that others may know and be able to experience this love, not only at Christmas, but in every day until Jesus returns. God bless you.
Powerful, Will. Thank you so, so much. Love sees us, love comforts us, love invites us in, love keeps its word. How many of you guys know what this is? A candy cane. Have you heard of the legend of the candy cane, the poem about the candy cane? I don't think it's necessarily accurate, but it's kind of cool when you think about this piece of candy. The legend, I'm going to read the poem to you. The legend of the candy cane. Jesus, gentle shepherd, this cane of red and white proclaims the sweet love story born on Christmas night. This cane you see when turned around begins your name of love and now becomes a symbol of the peace proclaimed above. A lively peppermint flavor is the regal gift of spice. The white is your purity and the red your sacrifice. And so this cane reminds us of just how much you care and like your Christmas gift to us, it's meant for all to share. You know, as we kind of wrap up our Advent series today, we've walked through the journey of waiting for Jesus' arrival. And we were waiting. The world has been aching for Jesus to enter in with all the brokenness, with all the hardship, with all the oppression, with all the confusion, loneliness. And as we prayed and as we planned as a team, we talked about how do we want our people, how do we want Hope to interact with Advent this year? And so we got Devin and his dad to build these awesome walls, these clothesline walls. We call them God's storyline, and basically it represents God's story of love throughout history, and we want to interact with that. He intersects. He comes into our lives, and so we've been utilizing these walls every single week to respond to the messages that we've heard. So week one in Advent, we learned about hope. We learned about hope in the lineage of Jesus's family, that it included all kinds of people, you know, some highly regarded, all the way back to King David, some who struggled, some who were scandalous, and we recognize that there's hope, that we are all included in Jesus' family, right? We're all included. And because of that, you'll see on these walls, if you're joining us today for the first time, there are red ribbons on there. And that was just an act of us declaring that we see hope in Jesus no matter where we are. And the red is just it's a symbol like Rahab's cord, the prostitute who hid people. Anyway, she did such a cool thing. God worked in her. And so we put our red threads up there and recognized that we need hope. Then the second week of Advent was about peace. We learned about Elizabeth and Zachariah in their hopeless, impossible situation of really wanting to have a son, and that God promised that, and that we recognize in our lives that there are moments where things feel impossible, where things feel like the obstacles will never go away, and we need peace. And we wrote on pieces of paper that say peace, the things we want to hand off to God, the things we need peace, and we cannot do it without supernatural intervention in our lives. And I read up there words like addiction. I read up there words like divorce. I read up there words like my child. I read up there loneliness. I read so many things. All the staff, we read over each and every one of those, and we prayed over them. And then last week, we learned about Mary, and that in her story, there was so much chaos. You know, giving birth with a bunch of animals, there was so much chaos. And yet she treasured these things in her heart. She pondered them and treasured them in her heart. She found joy inside the hard stuff. And so the way we utilized the wall last week was we lit them up so they would twinkle like joy. And today, Addie, one of our staff members, she's awesome. She talked about, you know what I think of when I think of love? Like, how are we going to interact with the walls this week as a church? How are we going to respond to God's love? That he sees us, that he comforts us, he invites us, he keeps his word. How are we going to do that? And she's like, do you remember the candy cane story with the red that represents Jesus' blood and the white? That's all the ways that he loves us. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. So Addie has hung candy canes on these walls, if you can see them or not. And so we're going to sing out to God about love. And the way we're going to respond is we're not going to put something on the wall. You're going to take something home. You're going to take home something sweet to remind you of Jesus' love. So if you would all stand, we're going to do one last song. And I'd love for you to come during that song and take a candy cane and recognize how much God loves you.